Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Erevin, Daf Lamed Aleph. We're learning today Le'ilu Nishmas Gisa Meir's Gittel Bas Hirsch Mordechai. All the Neshamas we learn for should have an Aliyah. As we're getting closer to the Yomim Noroim, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot, so we're going to obviously not be able to do all of those days with the Daf Yomi in the regular fashion, so I'll again try to speed up a little bit and do an extra Omud each day for some days in order to make up for these Shiurim that we won't be able to do because of Yantif Halachos. We begin on Lamed Aleph, Omud Aleph, on the second line. And we were dealing yesterday with the Shida Teva Umigdal, the Kohen going into a cemetery and not becoming Tameh, according to the opinion that says this is an Ol Zoruk, is capable of protecting the Kohen. The Kohen who goes into a cemetery inside the Shida Teva Umigdal will not become Tameh. So, according to that opinion, the Gemara now raises another problem. V'ha kivon di achso itamyale. Says, wait a second. He's going to get this Erev, this Truma, from inside the cemetery. But how does that help us? This Truma is going to become Tameh by being in the cemetery. As soon as you place this Truma down into the cemetery, it's going to become Tameh, and it's not going to be edible. And something that's not edible can't serve as an Erev. So even though the Kohen, according to the opinion that an Ol Zoruk is protecting, so even though he's able to go in there in the Shida Teva Migdol, but the Erev is going to be Tameh. That's the question the Gemara asks. Again, second line, Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph. V'akivam de'achso itamyala. The Erev that is made from Truma is going to become Tameh. So how can it be a functional Erev? It has to be edible. Gemara says, you know what we're talking about? B'shelo hochshua. This item that you put down there never became mukshul kabel tuma. A food item needs to become wet with one of the seven liquids. We've discussed this many times in the past. The yad shochat dam mnemonic for the seven types of liquids. And unless the food item came into contact with one of these liquids, so then it's technically not capable of accepting tumah. So that's what the Gemara says here. We're dealing with the Erev being a type of food that yet wasn't capable of accepting tumah. Below Bishalo Hochshiva. Alternatively, Oshin Lo Shavim Eperos. Let's say it was some sort of a mazonos or some sort of a bread. So you normally mix it with water. That makes it Mokshal Kabal tumah. But fruit juices are not, with the exception of grape juice and olive juice, wine and olive oil, other juices aren't included in the seven liquids, and they're not machshu something like kabel tumah. So therefore, if a person were to make his mizonos or his hamotzi type of kikar, of a loaf, with fruit juices, so it wouldn't be makabel tumah as well. So that's what we're talking about. The same teretz, b'shelo hochshura, o shalino shebemei peres, means that it's not going to become tummy in the cemetery. That's how this Erev that is Truma is not going to be Tomei in the cemetery. Where it still says, Vehechim Aisila. Okay, so you have this non-Tomei Truma in the cemetery, and you have the Kohen in the Shida Teva Migdol, and he's going to not become Tomei. But he has to stick his hand out of the Shida Teva Migdol and take the Truma. As soon as his hand comes out, he's going to become Tomei. So again, we're stuck. How is he going to be able to eat this Erev? It's not edible for him. So Gemara says, no, he takes it, b'pshute kliyetz, he takes out a shtick wood, a simple a flat wooden utensil, and he goes and brings the truma to him. And therefore, when he uses this utensil can't be makabel tuma. It picks up the truma, which can't be makabel tuma, and brings it inside the shido teva of the migdol, which can't be makabel tuma. Therefore, that's how this Kohen can go get the truma from the cemetery. Gemara says, b'pshute kliyetz, the lo makabli tuma. Where it says, still we got a problem. Okay, so granted this pshute kliyetz doesn't itself accept tumah, but it's going to be mahil over the kvarim. It's going to be a roof over the kvarim. And the halacha is that if you have a roof going over the kvarim, everything else that is underneath this roof is also going to become tameh. So therefore, the kohen holding on to it becomes tameh because he's holding on to this utensil and becoming Tameh by holding on to it. So again, how does this help us? The Kohen can't get to this Truma without himself becoming Tameh. So where it says, no. The Maisi law Achure. Now that's the Girsa that we have. On the side it says, the Girsa, the Maisi law Achude. And you can see that in Rashi on the side, where we're saying that if you have a tapering type of a wooden stick, so it doesn't have the dimensions of a tefach, only the size of a tefach why can bring tumah through tumas ohel. So this is a stick that is very narrow at the end that the kohen's holding onto it, less than a tefach, and it's wider at the other end, so it can pick up the food item, the truma, and therefore, in this situation, it's not going to bring the tumah through ohel. Where it says, if that's the case, ihachi, my time of the rabbanan. We gave such a convincing argument here now why Rabbi Yehuda should allow truma in a cemetery to be a valid Erev, because we've shown that you can actually go and get it without becoming Tameh, without the Truma becoming Tameh. So this is such a good airtight scenario. So then why would anybody argue with Rabbi Yehuda? The Chachamim say you can't go place Truma in a cemetery, but why not? This is actually a very good argument that Rabbi Yehuda provides. Now Rashi explains this a little bit further. We're not talking here about the cemetery anymore. We're talking about Bekevri Yechidi. And Nehi de Fligu b'masnisim b'beis ha'kvaros. So there, in the Ohel Zorach case, so there were two opinions. And Rabbi Yehuda holds that an Ohel Zorach is Shmei Ohel and can protect. But the Chachamim, who argue with Rabbi Yehuda, they say no, an Ohel Zorach is Lav Shmei Ohel. And therefore, that can explain why the cemetery, they don't hold from all of these answers that Rabbi Yehuda gives, because they disagree with the basic premise about the Shidu Teva Migdol. But Rashi explains, so if you just have an isolated single grave, when you don't have the concern of Ohel Zorach, you can just stand off to the side and use this tapered wooden utensil to go and get the item, and it was something that was not Mukshal Kabel Tuma. So in this situation of a Hocha, Rashi says, Yochol Amod Al Swaso, you can stand on the side, V'yudienu Etzlo. So why would the Chachamim not allow this type of a scenario to work? So the Gemara answers, Kusavre also liknos bayis bisuria noah, because you're making your shvis over here, your kona, your place, you're making your house over here, but you're doing it in a place where it's also to get any benefit from a cemetery. And therefore, that's why the Chachamim disagree with putting something like this either in a beis hakvaros or either in a cemetery. The word then says, but wait a second, that would imply Miklal, the Rav Yehuda Sava Mutter. Does that mean that Rav Yehuda, who's not concerned about this, says you can get, you can kona your shvisa in Isuri Hanoah? Rav Yehuda doesn't disagree with that. So how come Rav Yehuda says that this is allowed? So Gemara says, no, not a problem. Kisavar mitzvah slav lihonos nitnu. The reason why you're doing this Erev is to allow you to get to the next town, to hear a shir, for a dvar mitzvah, for a mitzvah purposes. So therefore, while you're, quote, getting hanoah from the cemetery or from this grave by having your Erev on top of it, that's not called hanoah. Your hanoah that you're getting is to do a mitzvah, and mitzvah slav lehanus nitnu, and therefore, Rav Yehuda says it's not a problem. That's why you can put it on the cemetery. But again, the Gemara says, El ha de Amar Rabba, so then this idea that mitzvos aren't given for hanoah purposes, and any hanoah that you get is not considered a problem, it's you're doing the mitzvah, it's lav lehanos, it's not for pleasure purposes, does anybody disagree with that? Everybody agrees with that. So you seem to be implying that only Rabbi Yehuda would say this, but the Chachamim would disagree with that. And they would say, in fact, mitzvos lehanos nitnu. But that's not right. Rava made a statement, its statement is true for everybody. Gemara says, Amalach Rava, Rava would say, you would be 100% right in saying this is a problem, that why do the Chachamim reject Rav Yehuda's idea here? That would be true if the only reason you could do an Erev was for a mitzvah purpose. However, the Kuli Amla, in that situation, mitzvah slav lehanos nitnu, then it wouldn't be a problem. However, here, this is what they're actually arguing about, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Mar Sovar, Rabbi Yehuda holds that Eim Arvin El Dvar Mitzvah. He says you're only allowed to make a Erev Tchumim for Dvar Mitzvah. You can only extend your Tchum outside your town by doing the Shvisa, by making your new Makom, your focal point, if you're doing it for Dvar Mitzvah. You're doing some sort of Mitzvah, that's why you need to extend your distance that you can travel. And therefore, Mitzvah slav lehanos nitnu. So therefore, it's perfectly natural that Rabbi Yehuda would allow you to do this, to put the Erev on top of a kever, because you're not getting hanah from it, because you're doing a mitzvah. However, Umar Sava, the Chacham, however, would say, no, ma'arvin afilu d'var harishus, a person is allowed to go, and even be ma'arvin for d'var harishus, you're going and putting your Erev to chum here, because you want to visit your friends in the next town, not for any mitzvah purposes, you just like their company. And therefore, since you're allowed to, according to the Chachamim, do something not for mitzvah purposes, so then we reject the discussion of that this is, you're using the cemetery and mitzvah slav lehanos nitnu. It's not for a mitzvah. And therefore, we do have the problem of being nana from such a placement of the Erev on the grave. And that's the understanding of the machlokas between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim. But now we got one more problem. What about Rav Yosef said, Eim Arvim Elo Dvar Mitzvah? Rav Yosef said, everybody agrees that you're only allowed to be Marev for a Dvar Mitzvah. So is this really Rav Yosef? Was he saying, oh no, that's really only Rav Yehuda, but not the Chachamim? Lema Ketanoi, Amro L'Shmaisei, was he really saying this only according to some opinions, but not according to everybody? Rav Yosef seemed to be saying it for everybody. So Gemara would say as follows. Amalek Yosef, Rav Yosef would say, no, everybody agrees with me. I, in fact, told that everybody says you can only be married for the Dvar Mitzvah, both Rav Yehuda and the Chacham. And I also agree. And I agree that everybody says that that's also the case. Now, if we say the Mitzvah Slav Leonos Nitnu, and you're only allowed to be married for the Dvar Mitzvah, so how come the Chacham don't agree with Rav Yehuda? This is what they're arguing about. That Rav Yehuda holds Ma'ar Savar, Kivan the Konale Erev, once you have your Erev taking effect, so now you can go travel as that new focal point allows you to go travel an additional distance. That's the opinion of Rav Yehuda. Kivan the Konale Erev, once the Erev works, Lo Nichale the Mintra, you no longer have to keep that food safe. You don't have to watch that food anymore because the food is no longer essential. If the food would be eaten up, once it was present at the start of the Bein HaShemashos, so then you can do whatever you want. You don't need that food there. However, the Chacham say, Umar Sovar Nichale Dimintra. No, you still want to have that food because you want to eat it. And therefore, now you're getting Hanah just from the food. Oh, getting Hanah from the food, that you can't do. The Yitzrich Ohole, because if you want to, you can eat it. Now you'd be getting Hanah from the cemetery, from the grave. That you're not allowed to do. And that's the crux of the Machlokas between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim. Rav Yehuda says, since you don't care about this Erev anymore, so then you're not getting any Hanah from the cemetery. And the Chachamim say, no, you do care about it, because you'd like to eat it still. And therefore, if you'd like to eat it, then you are getting Hanah from it, and therefore they prohibited it. That's the full understanding of this Machlokas. Now we begin the next Mishnah. Now this next Mishnah is something, as you can see on the side, in the Masoras HaShas, is discussed. We have this in Brachos, we have this in Shabbos, Mitzvah Shem will have it in Pesachim and Sukkah as well. This is a very common discussion that comes up throughout Shas, and as we go through it, you'll see, it will hopefully be a reminder to everybody of this discussion. The Mishnah starts off and says, Ma'arvim didmai. The following things in this Mishnah that's going to say you're allowed to be Ma'arv with, you can use them as an Erev Tchumim, and there are some things that you can't. So the Mishnah starts off and says you can use Dumai. Dumai is Duma. What status is it? This is the Amaratzim originally all took off Trumas and Maisers, but then a small percentage of them stopped taking off Maiserishom. They said, hey, that's 10%. That's a lot. So therefore, they were Choshev that they didn't take off Trumas and Maisers, and the rabbis came along and said, we therefore are Choshev that all Amaratzim don't take off Trumas and Maisers, even though the majority did. And therefore, when you take something from an Amma Aretz, you have to go and re-tithe it. You have to go and take off again. Now, the Truma Gedola, they never was concerned, because even Chit Achas Pateris Asakri, even a single kernel, can go and be patered. So that's not a big deal, to take off one extra kernel and to treat it as Truma. The concern was with the Maaser Rishon, because here it's 10%. So what you do is you take it off, and then once you've been mafresh it, maybe he did, maybe he didn't, you've been mafresh it, now you tell the Levi, prove to me that the first person didn't take off Shumas HaMaisis, then I'll give it to you. Abotzi B'chaber, all of a raya. But you're in fact mafresh it, and that's the din of Demai. Now, the Mishnah tells us you can use Demai as your Erev Tchumim, even though you aren't allowed to eat Demai. And the Gemara will explain why. Likewise, you're allowed to use Maaser Rishon that you took off the Trumas Maaser from it, the Maaser Min HaMaaser. So you're allowed to do that. This sounds like it's obvious, and the Gemara will say, this is Pshita, of course, it's perfectly good Maaser Rishon. And everybody, not only a Levi, we paskin that everybody can eat Maaser Rishon, so why would you have a Havim to say that this is no good? The Gemara will ask that. Likewise, with Maaser Sheni, the Hekdish Shiniftu, the Maaser Sheni that was redeemed, or Hekdish that was redeemed, these are perfectly good as well to use for an Erev. And the obvious question is, why not? They're perfectly good to eat, so why would you think that they're not? Then it says, v'ha-kohanim b'chala. The Kohanim are allowed to use for their Erev chala. Chala is one of the 24 matnos kahuna. It's like truma on the dough. On the side, it even says, the girsa ubitruma instead of b'chala. And the Mefarshim will point out, we just learned previously that it's not only Kohanim that can use chala, even Yisrael can use his Erev from either Chala or Truma, because, well, it may not be good for him, it is good for Kohanim, and therefore it's an edible food. In any event, the Mishnah here just says Va'Kohanim, because that's the normal people that would go and use this for an Erev. It's not common for Yisrael to go and put Chala or Truma out there for his Erev. That's why it just uses the expression Va'Kohanim, but it really means Yisraelim as well. All of these things are perfectly good to make an Erev, and the Gemara will discuss them. Avalo b'Tevel, but the Mishnah tells us that you're not allowed to use Tevel. Tevel is produce that has been untithed at all. So this is usher even for a kohen, and it's a chomer. It's misa b'dei shemayim. So even a kohen can't eat this, even though he can eat all the component parts. So nobody can eat this tevel, and therefore you can't make a Erev out of it. And the Gemara will say, obviously, why would you think you could? It's inedible, and an Erev has to be edible. Likewise, lo b'maisarishon shalom nitro truma. So, likewise, with maisarishon that you didn't take up truma smaisa, that's also called tevel. So, of course, you can't think more or less. So, what's the chiddush here? And finally, lo b'maisashen of hekli shalom nitro. If it's maisasheni that wasn't redeemed, produce wasn't redeemed, or it was hektish, that belonged to hektish, it wasn't redeemed, so they're both inedible. You're not allowed to eat them outside Yerushalayim. You're not allowed to eat them at all. They're hektish. They belong to hektish. So what's the chiddush over here that you're not allowed to use them? The Gemara will go through all of this. And as I said, this is a very common discussion. We had this in many other places. Gemara starts off and says, demai, you're allowed to use demai for an Erev. Gemara says, halochazile, but you're not allowed to eat demai. A person isn't allowed to eat demai until he's mafresh trumas ha-maisus. And now you're not allowed to be mafresh trumas ha-maisus on Shabbos, so therefore it is inedible on Shabbos. So how can you go and eat this demai? You can't, and therefore how can it be used as an Erev? So Gemara says, halochazile, it's not usable, and therefore it shouldn't be allowed to be used. So the Gemara says, "Mi gudi boy mafkilu nichse." Because if a person wanted to, he could go be mafkir all of his nechasim. He could say, "I am giving up all of my property and I become an ani." And therefore, v'havi ani, as he now is a poor person, and poor people, v'chazulei, poor people are allowed to eat demai even without taking off trumas and maisus from it. So therefore, since a person could do this, hashtanami chazile, since he has the potential to do this even on Shabbos, so therefore it is considered edible for him because if he wanted to, he could go and do this. And how do we know this? This is a Mishnah Demai. The Gemara tells us it's not. It tells us, Machilim Eswanim Demai. The Mishnah states that you're allowed to go and give poor people Demai without having to take off Trumas and Maises from them. You can go and give it to them straight. Likewise, we turn to Yomid Beis, V'es Achsanya. Now Rashi explains over here, this is Chayolos Malchay Yisrael. This is a Jewish garrison, a Jewish troops. Shematilin also not here. There's the idea of quartering. The Jewish army comes into the town, you have to put them up. So when you feed them, you're allowed to go and feed them demai. That's what Rashi says here. Elsewhere, Tosu says that we're dealing with Gayusha troops. You're not dealing with Jewish troops, and you can also give them this demai. In any event, Mishnah states in demai that you can give demai to poor people. Rav Huna, Tana Beis Shammai, Omrim, Rav Huna said that in learning this brisa, Beis Shammai says, Ein machilim asanim demai. Beis Shammai doesn't allow you to go feed the poor people demai, and only Beis Hillel. That's the source of the Mishnah. Beis Hillel, Omrim, machilim asanim demai. So this is what we're talking about in the Mishnah in demai, and that's what we're talking about in our Mishnah over here in Erevin. Then our Mishnah said, "Over Ma'aserishon shenitlo v'chule, you're allowed to go and make an erev with Ma'aserishon, which Trumas Ma'aser had been taken off from it." Gemara says again, "Pshita, it's obviously that this is the case. It's perfectly permissible food. It's perfectly edible food. Why would you think that you can't make? You don't need to tell me that you can take a kosher piece of bread and make that for your erev. So why would you need to tell me that you can take Ma'aserishon that had Trumas Ma'aser taken from it?" Gemara says, "Lo tzricha, we need it for the following situation, that the Levi took the Maaser Rishon before the Kohen took Truma Gedola. The normal way of doing things is you give Bikurim first, and then you give Truma Gedola to the Kohen, and only then, after you've taken off the Truma Gedola, do you go give Maaser Rishon to the Levi. What happens if the Levi chops first, and before you gave the Truma Gedola, the 40th, 50th, or 60th, the 140th, or 150th, or 160th of the total produce, before that was given to the Kohen, this Truma Gedola, the Levi came and took his 10% as Maaser Rishon. So the Gemara tells us, if you have Shekdimu Bishibolim, while it was still in the stalk stage, the Levi went and took his 10%, so in this situation, he then takes his 10% that he got, and he takes off 10% of that and gives it to the Kohen. Trumas Maaser, Maaser Min HaMaaser. V'nitlo Mimenu Trumas Maaser, but V'lo Nitlo Mimenu Truma Gedola. But he never has an obligation to go and give Truma Gedola from it. That is still considered good. He went out of order. He wasn't right for going out of order, but it doesn't ruin it to make it that it's not edible. And therefore, this Maaser Rishon that he took, which never had Truma Gedola taken from it, but he did take off the Trumas Maaser, the Maaser Min HaMaaser from it, so that is perfectly edible, and he can use that as an Erev. That's the Chiddush in the Mishnah. And this goes in accord, the Gemara tells us, with what Rabbi Avo said in the name of Reish Lakish. Rabbi Avo, he said the following, if the Levi chapped and he took the Maisa Rishon while it was still in the stalk stage before the coin was given the Truma Gedola, then there is no obligation. The coin loses out. Levi doesn't have to make it up to him. And this is based upon a pasuk. Shenemar, Varemosa Mimenu, Trumas Hashem, Maisim and Amaiser. The Levi has to go take Maisim and Amaiser, which the Gemara interprets as follows. Maisim and Amaiser, Marti Lecha. The Torah told us that he has to take off Trumas Maiser. However, Velo Truma Gedola, Utrumas Maisim and Amaiser. He doesn't have to go and give the Truma Gedola as well as the Maisim and Amaiser to the Kohen. So if the Levi chopped first, while it was still in the Shibolim stage, so then there is no obligation to go and take off Truma Gedola. The Kohen lost out, and the Levi doesn't have to make it up to him. Rapapa questions, however, he says, Amalei Rapapa Labaye, Rapapa says to Abaye, but then, Ihachi, if this is so, then why is it only in the Shibolim state? Afilu Hikdima Bekri, after the Shibolim state, it's winnowed and it's now all piled up into piles. Now here, in this situation, it should be the same din, Rapapa tells Abaye, Afilu Hikdima Bekri Nami. So then, he should also be parted from taking off Truma Gedola, but that's not the halacha. The halacha is that once it's in the piled up state and it's mechuyev in Truma Gedola, when it's in the Shibolim state, it's not mechuyev in Truma Gedola, but now it's mechuyev in Truma Gedola. This is the point when it's in the piles that the chiyuv to take Truma Semaisis kicks in. So here, if the Levi chops first, he does have to give Truma Gedola to the Kohen, even though he chopped his Maiser Rishon, and he has to give Maiser and a Maiser. So Rapapa is questioning Abaye. So Amalei, Abaye tells him, Olech Amakra. The pasuk is written specifically to address your question because the pasuk says, "Mikol masosechem tarimu eis kol trumas Hashem." It means from all of your maaser, you'll have to give trumas Hashem. What does this mean? So Rashi explains, "Beleviim ksiv." This is regarding the Leviim, and it says you have to take off afilu truma gedola. So in the situation when it's in the kri, when it's in the pile state, then the Levi who chapped his maaser rishon has to not only take off trumas maaser, but he also has to give truma gedola. Now we have two situations, the Shibolim state where he doesn't have to give Truma Gedola, and in the Kri state where he does have to give Truma Gedola. So the Gemara asks, Umariz, why did you separate it out this way? Maybe in the Shibolim state you have to give Truma Gedola, and in the Kri state you don't have to give Truma Gedola. So the Gemara says, no, that's obviously not correct. The way we said it is correct, because high idgun, but high low idgun, because it hasn't yet gotten the chiv of trumas and maestras when it's in the stalk state, in the shibolin state. So therefore, if the Levi chopped it, so then it's going to be exempt from truma gedola. But in the kri state, so now it's already mechuyev in truma, so therefore, even though the Levi chopped it, he will not only give truma of trumas maeser, maeser and maeser, but he also has to go and give truma gedola. That's the Mishnah's explanation. What we're talking about, Maaser Rishon Shinit La Truma. So now we go to the next thing. We said, Maaser Sheni, the Hekdesh Shiniftu. If you redeemed your Maaser Sheni produce outside Yerushalayim, so then you can go and use them for an Erev. Or if you redeemed Hekdesh, you can use it for an Erev. Again, the Gemara says, duh, pshita, it's obvious. This is perfectly edible food. Why would you think you can't? Gemara says, Lo Tzricha. The Chiddush over here is, Shenosan es HaKeren, Velo Nosan es HaChomesh. When you redeem your Maaser Sheni, you not only pay for the principal, but you have to add on a fifth, which is a fourth from the inside. So let's say it was $100, you have to add on 25 extra dollars. That becomes 25 of 125 is a fifth. 25 of 100 is a fourth. That's what we always mean, from the inside, from the outside. Likewise, if you redeem Hekdesh, so you have to pay the principal plus a fifth. So here, what we're talking about is Shenasan Esakaren, he paid the principal, so he redeemed it, but he didn't yet pay the extra fifth that is required to be paid. So I might have thought, I might have said that this is not considered redeemed. The Chiddush over here is that no, it is considered redeemed. You still owe the Chomesh, so yeah, you owe that money, but it's still called redeemed, and therefore it is considered perfectly edible. Then the Mishnah says the following things are not able to be used. Avoloba Tevel. Tevel was the first one we gave. There's no Trumas HaMaaser taken off at all. So again, the Gemara says, Pshita, this is inedible. You're not allowed to eat it. And therefore, of course, you can't use it for your Eruv. So the Chiddush is, the Gemara says, Lo Tzricha. We're talking about not Tevel Daraisa, but Betevel Tevel Midrabanan. We're talking here about something that is only Tevel Midrabanan. What's an example of something that's Tevel Midrabanan? Ukegon Shazaro, but Otzitz Sheino Nokov. We've had this discussion as well in the past. You have a flower pot that has a hole in the bottom that's considered and therefore any fruits or produce or vegetables growing in here are going to be mechuyev on a daraisa basis, for the things that are mechuyev on a daraisa for truma, growing inside such a flower pot, because it's connected to the ground with the otzit that has a flower pot that has a hole in it. But here we're talking about otzit she'eino nakuv. It doesn't have a hole in it, so therefore midaraisa, there is no obligation. The rabbis came along and said there's an obligation. So I might have thought, since daraisa you're allowed to eat this, it might have been able to function as an eruv tchumim. Kamash malam, the chiddush is no. Even if it's only osim midarabanan, it can function as an eruv. It's not considered edible. Then we said the Mishnah, below the Maisa Rishon, Shalom Nito Trumaso. We said that you're not allowed to use Maisa Rishon, they didn't have the Trumas Maisa taken from it. Again, Pshita, this is Tevel, and of course you can't eat it, so you're not giving us any Chiddush over here, telling us that you can't use this. He says, no, we are giving a Chiddush. This is exactly what we just said a moment ago. Lo Tzricha Shekdima Bekri. We're talking here with a Levi, chapped it while it was already in the piles. And now there was a Chiv on Truma Gedola as well as Truma Smeiser. And all the Levi did, Vinitla Mimeno, Truma Smeiser. He threw off Truma Smeiser. So you might have thought it's no longer Tevel. However, but since Velo Nitla Mimeno, Truma Gedola, he didn't take off Truma Gedola, so therefore it is considered still Tevel. I might have thought, Mal Detemo, Kidomer Le Rapopo Le Abaye. I might have thought that what Rapopo questioned to Abaye, maybe in this situation as well, it isn't considered tevel. You're parted from Truma Gedola, so the Chiddush is Kamash Vulon Kiddushani Lay. The answer that we gave before in the first part of the Mishnah works as well in the second part of the Mishnah, that when it's in the Shibalim, it's not Chayiv in Truma Gedola, but here it is Chayiv in Truma Gedola when it's in the Kri state, and therefore it's considered tevel until you give Truma Gedola, and therefore it's not edible, and therefore you can't use it as an Eruv. Finally, the last part of the Mishnah said you can't use Maisa Sheni below Maisa Sheni. The Hekdesh Lo Niftu, you can't use Maisa Sheni that is not redeemed, and you can't use Hekdesh that is not redeemed. Again, the Gemara says, Duh, Pshita, it's obvious, it's inedible. You're not allowed to eat it. So therefore, how can you tell me that this is good? That why do you need to tell me that this is not able to be used as an Erev? Of course it can't be used as an Erev. It's not able to be eaten, and an Erev has to be able to be eaten. The Gemara says, no, it's a Chiddush over here. Lo Tzricha, you need it for the following situation, Shepedon, Velo Pedon, Kilchosan. Well, you redeemed it, but you didn't redeem it properly. What does that mean? For example, you redeemed your Maiser Sheni, Maiser Shepedo, Agav, Asimon. You redeemed your Maiser Sheni for a slug, a coin that doesn't have a Tzura on it. On the bottom of the dot, it says, Kesef Sheinu Lov Tzura is called an Asimon. If the Kesef doesn't have a Tzura to it, it's a slug. So the old Israeli phone calls were made with asimon. So people that remember back in that time, when people remember what a public telephone was, so they used to use asimons. He said, kesef she'ain lov tzura. It doesn't have a design on it. And it comes, it says, miloshon suma, from a blind person, she'ain lo einayim. Just like a blind person doesn't have eyes, so too these coins don't have a tzura on them. And the pasuk says that you can't use a slug to go and redeem ma'aser sheni. Where do we know that? Because the Torah tells us, rachmon omar, v'tzarta kesef biyodecha. You shall have kesef that is with a tzura. Kesef she'esh olov tzura is allowed to be redeemed for Maiser Sheni, but not Kesef, that's a slug, not an Asimon. So that's the Chiddush. You might have thought, well, he did a little bit of a redemption, not a perfect one. No, the answer is this is not a redemption at all. Likewise, Hekdesh, Echilu, Agawi Karka. The Hekdesh was not redeemed properly because you must redeem Hekdesh on money, and instead he redeemed it on Shavik Kesef, which is Karka, for example. So he redeemed the produce that the Hekdesh had for Karka. So while it may be valid from a monetary point of view, it's not valid from a redemption point of view. The Rachman Amar, because the Torah said, "V'nasan ha-kesef v'kom lo." Now this is actually not a real pasuk. This is an idea. Rashi points out that the real pasuk is "V'yosav chamishis kesef erkecha," and then at the end of the pasuk it says "v'kom lo," and that's really what it's referring to over here. That you have to redeem Hekdesh with money. You can't redeem Hekdesh with Karka. So I might have thought, the Havamin here is, well, okay, it's not ideal, but it's still good after the fact. No, the bottom line is it's not good after the fact, and this is still not considered redeemed. That's why it's not edible, and that's why it can't be used as an Eruv. Now let's go to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah begins and says, Hasholech Eruvo Biad Chere Shot V'Kotan. When a person wants to go and make his new Shvisa, he's using an Eruv Tchumen, and he wants to establish his new focal point, so he has to bring the food over there. So if he sends it with people that are not mentally competent, and therefore there's no guarantee that what they have done has any intention or the accomplishment to it. So if you send it biyad cheresh, a person who neither can speak nor can hear, and they're usually considered mentally incompetent, shote, a person who's actually deranged, he sleeps in a cemetery at night, etc., his definition of being deranged, or a katan, who by definition hasn't reached the age of das yet, even though he may be the brightest person in the world, at 12 and a half, he's still not called a bar das. So all of these people, the cheresh, shote, and katan, if they go and bring your Erev to the point where it is, so it's no good. Or alternatively, if you give it to put your Erev to somebody that doesn't believe in Erev, Obiyad, Mish, Eno, Modib, Erev. And Rashi points out what the Gemara is going to tell us, Akusi, somebody who doesn't believe in the Torah Shabbat Pet. This is all Dinim de Rabbanon, and therefore he doesn't believe in this idea of Tchum, which is a Din according to most of the Rabbanim, but there is an opinion that says the Raisa, and he doesn't believe the way to correct the Tchum issue by making a new Mokum Shvitza, making a new focal point. So this person, this Kusi, puts out your Erev for you, or the Erev Shoten Katan put out your Erev for you, it's Eino Erev. You don't have anything over there. However, Vim Omar Li Acher Li Kabul Mimenu, but if you have a Bar Das, if you have a person who believes in Erev and is a Bar Das at the other end, at the Mokum Shvitza, and he takes it from the hands of the Erev Shoten Katan or from the Kusi, and he places it there, so then Harez Erev, then it is a perfectly good Erev. The fact that it only was brought there via is irrelevant because he's not putting it down. And as the Gemara will tell us, an elephant or a monkey can go bring it over there. We don't care how it got there. As long as it's placed with the intention of that being a Mokum Shvisa, so then it's perfectly acceptable. So here, another person accepted it, it's perfectly good. Gemara starts off and says, can a katan not go and serve to put down your item there, your food, as the Erev? Rav Huna, katan go, that's Erev. Rav Huna said that a katan can go and collect the Erev. Now here we're talking about an Erev Chatzeros. Rashi says, Bimnei Chatzer, he's collecting this from all the people in the Chatzer, Uma'arev Aleim, and he's bringing the Amatza from everybody into the central place, and now all of the people in the Chatzer have their Erev Chatzeros. In addition to being an enclosed Chatzer, you need to have the food for everybody in the yard, and therefore, in this situation, the katan can go and collect it. So, just like the katan can collect by an Erev Chatzeros, why can't the katan collect over here by an Erev Tuchumim? Shmuel says, Lokasha, that's not a problem. There's a difference between the two. Kan, the Erev Tuchumim, in our Mishnah here, we're talking about that a katan can't go and collect your Erev Tuchumim for you and place it there. But, previously, Rav Huna said, that's talking about an Erev Chatzeros. Kan be'eruvei chatzeros. So, what's the difference between the two? So, in regards to an Erev chatzeros, Rashi explains the Erev rishusayu bi'almahu. The Erev chatzeros, you're not doing anything, you're not creating any halachic idea by putting all their food in one place. Memela mi'arev. That is, in fact, showing that they're all together. The avogad bein maisa katan klum. Even though the actions of the katan have no halachic significance, Loich Patlan, it doesn't interest us at all. It doesn't bother us at all. As we're going to learn later in the Masechta, on Daf Ayin Aleph, Balabayis Shashutav Im Shchenav, if a Balabayis is a partner with his neighbors, Ein Tzarech La'ariv, they're all considered already one. Therefore, by an Erev Chatzeros, by their putting all their food together, they're all considered already one. But, Avol Erev Tuchumim, Aknuye Shvisahu, that's a halachic act. I am hereby declaring, by my placement of this Erev over here, that this is now my focal point. That's a halachic act that requires das. The katan lo olin lemikne, and the katan doesn't have the strength, he doesn't have the das to go and do this. So therefore, there's a simple teretz over here, an Erev Chatzeros, you're not doing anything. You're physically bringing things together. The katan can physically do something. You can't say that the matzahs aren't all in one place. The matzahs are all in one place. And since there was no das that was required, just the bringing of the matzahs together, a katan can do it. But by the Erev Tchumen, there is das that's required, and therefore a katan can't do it. Then we quote the Mishnah, and it said, Obiyad mi sheino modeh be'erev, if you were to give it to somebody that's not modeh be'erev. And I already pointed out, Rashi brought this down. The Gemara tells us, man, who is such a person that's not modeh be'erev? So Amar Chista Kusai. These are the Kusim. The Kusim, of course, were brought here by Sancheirev when he was destroying the northern kingdom, the Malchus Yisrael. So he displaced the Jewish people and he brought in the Kusim. They lived in the Shomron. They're also known as the Shomronim. Kusim / Shomronim were brought here. They eventually were Megayer. It's unclear whether their Geiris was a real Geiris, but in any event, they certainly didn't accept upon themselves all the laws of the Torah Shebaal Peh, and therefore, Rav Chisda says, this is a person who doesn't believe in Tchumim, that would be a Kusi. So that's what it's referring to. Then we quote the Mishnah, but if somebody's accepting it from the Cheirishot or Katan or the Kusi, who's a Baal Das, then it can be, in fact, a good placement of the Erev Tchumim. says, maybe he won't do it. The fact that you assign Yankel to please go and accept the item, the food, from the Chayr Shota Katan Lekusi, who says Yankel did it for you? So Gemara says, oh, you're watching. It's 2,000 amas away, so you can't do it. You're not there yourself, but you can see. So therefore, you see that Yankel meets up with the Chayr Shota Katan at the end of the 2,000 amas, and therefore, it's perfectly good. Just like Ruchissa said, in regards to something else, that you see him carrying it and accepting it there, so to over here, the person that wants to change his Mokum Shvitsa sees that the responsible Yid, the Bardas, accepted from the Chayrishot, the Katan, or the Kusi. Mor says another question, maybe he's over there, but he didn't actually place it there. So you see that the Katan brought it there, the brought it there, but who says that Yankel is actually going to put it down, Lamakum Shvisa? So that we said, Kedom Rabbi Yechiel. So Yechiel said a similar thing, Chazaka Shalich Osa Shlichuso. As long as you see him there, you can guarantee that, in fact, he did what he was supposed to do, because we have a rule that the Shaliach does what he's asked to do. And just like Rabbi Yechiel said it in regards to something else, the Shaliach Osa Shlichuso, so to over here, Chanami Chazaka Shaliach Osa Shlichuso. So to over here, we can make the presumption that the Shaliach, in fact, did it, and you can rely upon it. So the Gemara said, these two statements, Rav Chisda said that Ba'omid V'Rareyu, and Rav Yechiel said Chazaka Shliach Osa Shlichus. So we said they said it elsewhere, so you can say it over here by Erev. So the Gemara asks, where did they say it elsewhere? So Ahoyt, it was said in the following Braisa. Diktanya says in the following Braisa, Nisanu Lapil V'Olicho. If you give it to an elephant, you put the item, the Erev, on top of an elephant's back, and tell the elephant to go, and the elephant goes to the place where you want to put it down. Or lekof, or you give it to a monkey, vaholicho, and the monkey goes and brings it to the place. In other words, these animals, they're not human beings. They don't have das. So therefore, if the elephant and the monkey brings it there, it is absolutely no good. Ein ze era, because they don't have das. However, you see, if you have a guy standing over there that's going to take it off the back of the elephant, or take it from the hands of the monkey, so then hare ze era. It is a good era, because he'll put it down, and he has das. So Gemara says, so on this brisa with the elephant and the monkey, it said, maybe the monkey or the elephant won't do what you thought it was going to do. So Gemara says, on that, Rechista said over there, he's watching and he sees that the man took it off from the back of the elephant or from the hands of the monkey. He sees him. Alternately, maybe the person took it there but didn't actually do what he was supposed to do. He took it and ate it. So there, Omer Yechiel, in that regard, he said, Chazaka Shliach Osa Shlichus. So no, you can assume that the Shliach did what he's supposed to do because of this rule that Shliach do what they're supposed to do. So too, just like by the case of the elephant and the monkey, so too over here in our case with the Chayr Shota Kat and the Kusi, both Rav Chisda and Rav Yechiel's statements apply. Rav Nachman tells us, Bishel Torah and Chazaka Shliach Osa Shlichus. So Rav Nachman says that you can only rely upon this principle that Rav Yechiel just taught us, that Shliach Osa Shlichus, when it's dealing with the Din Darabanan. But if you're dealing with the Din Daraisa, you can't rely upon this. It's just a Chazaka, just the likelihood, and you're for a Din Daraisa, you have to be stricter. However, Rav Nachman says, Bishel Sofrim, in regards to Sofrim, Sofrim is Din Darabanan, so then Rashi explains, you can rely upon it. Chazaka Shliach Osa Shlichus, Samchina na Chazaka Shliach, because if he doesn't do it, so then it's not such a strict thing. So we can rely upon this chazaka, because worse comes to worse, you'll only be over in Issa Derabanan. Again, not something that we take lightly. But since the worst case scenario is only being over in Issa Derabanan, so we can rely upon the overwhelming likelihood that a shliach osa shlichuso. That's what Rav Nachman says, only by Din Derabanan, not by Din Deraisa. Rosh Hashanah disagrees. Rosh Hashanah Amar, Echazeh ve'echazeh. Both by Din Derabanan and a Din Deraisa, we can apply this principle, Chazaka Shliach Osa Shlichuso. And now we're going to continue. As I said, we're going to try to catch up. We'll do for the days of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot, when we can't give the shir. So what we'll do now is try to finish off this Amud and this Sugya of the Machlokas between Rav Sheshes, who says it applies even to a Din Daraisa, and Rav Nachman, who says that this concept of Shliach Osa Shlichuso only applies to a Din Darabanan. So we'll continue. Rav Sheshes says, I'll show you that I'm right, that it applies to Daraisa. I'm Rav Sheshes, we know I mean the law, that this Din of Shliach Osa Shlichuso applies to a Din Daraisa, because we learned in the Mishnah Menachos, Mishakar Ava Omer, on the first day of Pesach, when they brought the Korban Omer, the first day of Cholamoid Pesach, when they brought the Korban Omer, Huter Echadosh Miyad. So then, at that point in time, all the new produce is now allowed to be eaten. This is the Din of Chadosh and Yoshan, so until the Omer is brought, it's all considered chadash. And now, once the omer is brought, anything that has already been growing is now allowed to be harvested and eaten as yashan. So, at what point is this done? When the carbon omer is brought. So, mishakarav omer hutra chadash miyat. Instantly, the minute the carbon omer is brought, all the wheat, all the grains are now called no longer chadash, but they're now called yashan. What about people that don't live in the Beis HaMikdash area? So how are they supposed to know that the carbon was brought? Or Rechokim, people living in Haifa, people living in Tel Aviv, mutarim, mechatzos hayom ve'elech. They can, from noon of the first day of Cholamai Pesach, presume that the carbon omer was brought, and therefore they can go and now eat all the new grains. They're not considered chadash anymore, they're considered yosher. Now, what's the proof here? V'ho chadash daraisu. Now, the din of chadash is a din daraisa. And yet, we say, uktani, harichokim, mutarim, mechatzos hayom ve'elech. You can rely upon the fact that the shlichim, based in the Kohanim, in the Beis HaMikdash, brought the carbon omer. They don't have the knowledge, they didn't have cell phones, they didn't have texting, instant messaging. They didn't know that it was brought. Yet they can rely upon the fact that shliach osu shlichuso. And therefore, Rosh Hashem says, you see here, la mishum chazok or shliach osu shlichuso, and it's by a daraisa, and we allow it. So here's a raya to my shita, that by a din daraisa, we also apply the concept of shliach osu shlichuso. What would Rav Nachman say about this? For Rav Nachman, what would he say? He says, no, awesome, kidikitani taima. Keep on reading over there the Mishnah. Why can you rely upon that over there? Because everybody in the world knows, Lefish Yodin, Shein Beisdin, Miss Atzlimbo. You're not talking about a regular Shleach. You're talking there about Beisdin. Beisdin doesn't make mistakes. Beisdin can be guaranteed that they'll do what they're supposed to do. A regular Shleach? Maybe not. But Beisdin certainly can. So therefore, you can rest assured 100% that in that particular situation, the Shleach, meaning Beisdin, made sure that Kohanim did their Shlichus. But you can't rely upon that in any other case. And therefore, Rav Nachman says, you don't have a raya from there about a regular shliach by an issur daraisa. Alternatively, flip it around. Some say that Rav Nachman brought that as a raya, and Rav Sheshes disproved that raya. Vika the Amre, it was Rav Nachman who brought it as a raya and said, look, I'm Rav Nachman, no, I mean a lot that you can't rely upon it normally, a shliach osu shlichuso, but you did daraisa, because the Ketani Taima, it said over there specifically that the only reason you can rely upon the carbon omer from Chatzos and onwards, every place else in Haifa and Tel Aviv, Lefish Yodin, Shein Beisdin, Misasabo. It's only because Beisdin. That's why. So you can rest assured that Beisdin took care of it. But a regular Shliach, Beisdin, Hudalo Misasabo. Ha Shliach Misasabo. A regular Shliach may be lazy. And therefore, you can only rely upon it when it's Beisdin. Oh, Rav Nachman says, a riot to me that you can't rely upon Shliach Osu Shlichuso by Yedin Daraisa. No, what would Rosh Hashanah, what would you say about that? Rav Sheshes, what would he say? Amalok, he would respond and he would tell you, no, based in Adapal Gidioma, based in, they're super duper reliable, and that's why you don't have to wait till the end of the day. You can even from Chatzos and onward assume that they did it, because they'll be Zrizim Akdimim, they'll do it right away in the morning. A regular Shliach, you can't say Zrizim Akdimim, but a regular Shliach, you can certainly rely upon that he does his Shlichos, Shliach Kulayoma. By the end of the day, he certainly will do a shlichus, even by daraisa. So you can't bring me a raya from there. The chiddush over there was that based, and you can rely upon that they did it even by chatzos, by the middle of the day. Whereas a regular shlichus, you can only say they'll accomplish their shlichus by the end of the day, even by daraisa. So that's why Rav Sheshes says it's not a raya against him. It's not a raya for Rav Nachman. Try again. I'm Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes says, "Minu amin aloch." Law, where do I have a raya that by shlichus we say even by daraisa the shliach osu shlichuso chazak shliach osu shlichuso the tanya from the following braisa aisha sheyeshala leida oziva, a woman who has an obligation to bring a carbon leida or a carbon ziva. A woman has to bring either bird offerings or sometimes an animal and a bird offering after she's in the states of tumah of leida or of ziva. So, what does she do? She brings her money, maybe a mos for nosenes b'shofar. She brings the money for the korbanos and she puts it into the appropriate shofar. The shofars were basically collection bins of the people who put in their money. There's a whole process that's outlined afterwards, how they would get a chit to show that they had the right carbon being brought, and they put them into the right chamber collection bin, and by the end of the day, all the korbanos were bought. So much so, the Rav Sheshes says, this is the right, so she's not allowed to eat kachim, she's not allowed to go and do certain things unless her carbon is brought. So when she brings her money and puts it into the shofar for a ziva or a leida carbon, v'tovelis, she can rely upon it and go to the mikvah, v'ocheles b'koshim lever, and she can eat kachin after that. 100% guarantee, shliach ose shlichuso. So Rav Sheshes says, this is by din daraisa, and yet we see, chazaka shliach ose shlichuso. My timer, why? Because la mishum darmin chazaka shliach ose shlichuso, can't we guarantee over here that the shliach, the kohanim, brought her korbanos? They brought her carbon leido, they brought her carbon ziva. And therefore, this is a daraisa Ergo, I'm right. Rav Sheshet says Shliachos is Shlichus. So even by Daraisa, what would Rav Nachman say about that? So Rav Nachman, what would he do? Awesome. Kidei Rav Shmaya. He says no. Keep on reading. What did Rav Shmaya say about this? The Omer Rav Shmaya. Rav Shmaya said that's only by the Kohanim. Chazaka ain't based in Shel Kohanim. Om de Misham. This is again unique that they would not leave from their posts that day until all the korbanos were brought. So when all the money in every shofar was finally used up and purchased the appropriate number of korbanos and sacrificed, then they would go home. But they wouldn't go home until the desk was clean. Therefore, only in this situation can we rely upon a deraisa shliach osu shlichuso. But in general, by a regular case, we don't have a raya. And in fact, Reb Nachman says you can't rely upon the chazak or shliach or shlichuso by a daraisa. Try again. Amr Shai says, "Mino amin Allah." Shai says, "I'll try again. I'll show you the following is a raya to me that even by the daraisa we can rely upon the principle chazak or shliach or shlichuso." Another braisa, the Tanya, says in this braisa. Now, listen carefully. Ha'omer lechaveiro, if a person says to his buddy, "Say v'laket lecho te'enim mitenasi," go. And I'm a nice guy. I want you to enjoy my beautiful figs that I have. Go and pick some figs from my tree. Rashi points out that he tells him in this situation, he didn't tell him how much to take. So therefore, we don't know a priori how much he's going to take, and you couldn't have taken off Trumas and Maestros for the amount that he went and ate, because you don't know how much he went to eat, because you told him, go pick whatever you want. So if he tells him just, say, v'laket l'chot te'inim mitenosi, if he just tells him that, so then, ochel mehen aroi. So then, the person who's given this right, he's allowed to eat, as with any ochel aroi, without taking off trumas and maisos. A temporary meal, you're allowed to go and eat without taking off trumas and maisos. But if he wants to have a set kavua meal, so then, u'ma'asron v'adai, if in fact he's having a set meal, so then, he has to go take off trumas and maisos. And he has to do it vadai. He has to assume that the owner absolutely did not take off Truma Samayis for him because the owner couldn't because he doesn't know how much he's going to eat. Now, Male Lucha Kalkola Zeh Teinim Teinosi. But if the friend told him, listen, go and take a basket full of Teinim, that's a set amount. So if he wanted to, he knows he's taking X amount, and I could take off Truma Samayis for it. So if the friend says to the guy that he wants to give the gift to, the owner of the field is giving a gift to his friend, and he says, fill up a basket, go and fill this up with figs. So in this situation, again, if the person who's receiving the gift wants to just eat them temporarily as a temporary type of a meal, so then you don't have to take up trumas and maisos. Any achilas aroi doesn't require trumas and maisos. However, if this person is going to take off trumas and maisos because he wants to eat it as a full regular meal, so then ma'asron, he has to take off trumas and maisos, but not as a vadai. He takes them off as demai, because maybe the owner of the field took them off for him. Because the owner of the field knows a set amount he gave him. As Rashi points out, he gave him a set amount. So this basket is a pound of figs. So he's going to take off trumas and maisos for a pound of figs. So therefore, the person who's receiving the gift only takes off trumas and maisos demai, because maybe the owner did, and maybe the owner didn't. Now, what exactly are we talking about? The Gemara says, "Bamedvar mamurim." What actually was said over here? Ba'ama aretz. We're talking about where the owner is an ama aretz. The person who's giving the gift is an ama aretz, and therefore we're not sure did he or did he not take off trumas and maisos. However, avo b'chaver, if the owner is a chaver, so then Ochel ve'ino tzorech li'asir, diri Rebbe. Rebbe says then the person who got the gift can rest assured that the owner went and took off trumas and maisos, because there's no way a chaver would ever give something to somebody that didn't have trumas and maisos taken off. That's the opinion of Rebbe. However, Rebbe's father, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Omer, no. B'med v'amamurim, what are we talking about over here? B'ama aretz. When the ama aretz gives it, so then maybe the person took off, the owner took off, he's an Am Aretz, maybe he took off Trumas and Maisos, maybe he didn't. However, Avo Bechaver, if the owner is a Chaver, then Vadai he didn't take off Trumas and Maisos, and therefore the recipient of the gift, Eino Ochel Achi Aser. Why is that? Lefi Shelo Nechshadu Chaverim Litrom. Because there's two principles over here. Rebbe said that there's no way that a Chaver would ever give something from his possession without it being kosher to eat. In other words, he would only give stuff that was tithed. But that involves a problem because it's not min hamukaf. It wasn't right adjacent to it. And we said that you should always give min hamukaf because maybe if you're giving it from your silo back at home or someplace else, when you get there, you'll see that it wasn't there. And in fact, you didn't take up trumas and maisers. So Rebbe's not worried about that. Rebbe's more worried about the idea that a person who's a chaver would never give something that wasn't kosher, it wasn't tithed. Whereas his father, Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel, says, no. Lo nechshedu chaverim litrom shalom namukav. It's much more of a concern for us to think that the Talmud Chacham, the chaver, would go and take something lomen amukav. So he certainly did not. And therefore, in this situation, we say he would prefer to give something that wasn't tithed because knowing that the person would take it off vaday. Now, on my Rebbe says, my way is more right than my father. Nirin devarai mi divrei abba. See here an interesting idea. You're allowed to argue with your father when it comes to Torah as long as you're competent to argue with him. So Rebbe says, my idea is more right, that the Talmud Chacham would rather do a minor aveira, so to say, of taking off Loman Amukov than taking the chance that somebody would do a major aveira by eating something that was untied, because the person would assume maybe that the Talmud Chacham tied it, and therefore that could lead to a big takala of eating something that wasn't tied, which is Misa B'dei Shamayim. So it's much better to do a little bit wrong, to go take lo min amukav, to take off trumas ma'aser, lo min amukav, according to Rebbe, than to do what his father suggested, Rav Shimon Gamaliel, that don't take off min amukav, and definitely don't tithe it, and don't worry that the person will go and eat it without tithing it. That's what Rebbe says. Amar Rebbe, nirin devarai midivrei abba, muto sheyachashdu chaverim litrom. It's better that we suspect the Talmud Chacham, the chaver, of doing a minor thing, of taking off trumas shalom min amukav, as opposed to v'liyachilu ami aretz tvalim. Since we're giving to an ami aretz, the ami aretz may not realize that he has to take off trumas and maisos, and he'll eat something that wasn't tied. That's misa b'dei shemayim. So much better to do this little problem of taking off mafrish lo min amukav than causing the ami aretz to have a huge potential problem. Now, how is this a raya? This is the braisa that Rav Sheshi has brought. How is this a raya to us? Ad kan lo pligi, we see that Rebbe and his father, Rav Shimon Gamaliel, weren't arguing. They're only arguing on the principle of which is the better thing to do, to be over the min hamukav or to be over giving something that's untied. But if there wasn't the problem, ad kan lo pligi, ela demarasov ha-nechshedu, marasov ha-lo-nechshedu. That's what they're arguing about. Avol kulei alma, they all would agree that if there wasn't the problem of taking off min hamukav, so then chazaka shliach osir shlichus, then we could take it to the bank that the Talmud Chacham definitely took off trumas and maisos. Now this is an issa d'oraisa, and Rav Sheshi says, you see from here clearly that we can rely upon this. My point is right, even by d'oraisa, chazaka shliach osir shlichus. What would you say to that, Rav Nachman? So Rav Nachman would answer, no, hasam ki Rav Chanina chazoy. No, that goes in accord with what Rav Chanina Chazoy said. What did he say? Dam Rav Chanina Chazoy, chazaka hu al chaver, sheino motzi dover, sheino mesuka mitachas yado. No, that's a unique case. That's like the Beis Din of the Kohanim. That's like the Beis Din in the Beis HaMikdash. That there's no way that a Talmud Chacham would not take off trumas and maisos. That's a separate chazaka. It's nothing to do with shliach osir shlichuso, and therefore you can't bring me a raya from there. By the way, Tosus points out, so avogav de maisi peris mid the rabbanon. We're bringing your raya here about this figs, this kalkala shoperos, is only mechuyev midirabanan. So nevertheless, you're telling me a raya from here that it's a din daraisa chaziach shliach osir shlichuso. So Tosu says no, kiven the ikar shem ma'isim in a Torah, because the concept of trumas ma'isim in a Torah, so choshev lekishol Torah. So this is considered also like a din Torah. Okay. Now we go back and quote some of this brayso. Amamar, we send the brayso of Amedvar Amurim. What were the circumstances of this case when the owner of the field gave a present to his friend, the Am Aretz? We said when the owner of the field is an Am Aretz, so then everybody agrees that you have to take off Vadai. Avo b'chaver, but if it was a chaver, the owner of the field was a Talmud Chacham, so then Rebbe said, O chaver no tzarech la'aser, then the person receiving it can guarantee that the shliach osir shlichuso, the way Rebbe understood it, divrei Rebbe, that the person took off trumas and maisers. Now, Hi Ama Aretz the Ka'amar Le Leman. In the first part, where we said that it's an Ama Aretz, and then you definitely have to take off Trumas and Maestros, what were the circumstances? Hi Ama Aretz the Ka'amar Le Leman. Ilemo the Ka'amar Le Ama Aretz Chabre. If it was an Ama Aretz, and he's giving the owner of the field, and he's giving a present to his friend, who's also an Ama Aretz, so then, Maestro and Demai meet Zayas. Then why do you have to take off Demai over here? The Amoratzim, they all believe that they take off Trumas and Maisos. So there's no reason to suspect that the Amoritz is going to suspect his friend of not taking off Trumas and Maisos. All the Amoratzim say, we take off Trumas and Maisos. So obviously, Ella, we're talking about the Am Oretz was the owner, the Karmelei Lechaber. He gave it to a Talmud Chacham, and the Talmud Chacham has to be Choshesh that maybe he didn't take off Trumas and Maestros, and therefore the Am Oretz is Choshesh for not doing this, and the Chaber has to go take off Maestros Demai. He has to be Maestrit as a possibility. But if that's true, the name of Sefer, then keep on reading. It says, Rebbe says, Nirin Devarai Midiri Abba. My words seem to be more correct than my father's words. Because Butov Shiyakshu Chaverim Litrom, we should be more concerned about the Chaver going and taking off Trumus of Maestros from Lomin Amukov, Shalomin Amukov, Vayachil Ami Aretz Tvalin, as opposed to giving an Ami Aretz Tevel. But Ami Aretz, my boy Hassan, we're saying here that it's not an Ami Aretz. We're talking that it is a Chaver. If we're dealing with a Chaver, so then it doesn't make any sense. What are we saying? Ayachil Ami Aretz Tvalim. And they're not dealing with an Am Aretz, you're dealing with a Chaver. So how do you get around that? So I'm a Ravina. Ravina says as follows. Reisha, the first part, that's Am Aretz Shama L'Chaver. That's talking about what the Am Aretz tells a Chaver. And that's why the Chaver has to take off Maestros Als Demai. However, Seifa is talking about the Chaver Shama L'Am Aretz. It's talking about a Chaver telling to the Am Aretz. The Chaver Acher Shomo, and somebody else is listening who's a Chaver. And now, Rebbe, we turn to the Omid Beis. Rebbe Sovar, Rebbe holds, Oso Chaver Ochel Veinot Sarech Liaser. So the second Chaver there is allowed to eat it and doesn't have to take off Maestros. Devada Yisuri Maeser, Hahu Chaver Kama Ilave. Because definitely the first Chaver took off Maestros because that's Rebbe's opinion. Then he wouldn't take the chance that the Yama Aretz is going to go and eat it without taking off Trumas and Maestros. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel disagrees. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer Lo Yochal Shasi. No, he has to go take off. The second chaver has to go and take off Trumas and Maestros. Why is that? Because we said that the first chaver didn't take it off because it's Lomen Amukov. Levisha Lomech Shalu Chaverim Litrom Shalomen Amukov. And on that, Yomalei Rebbe, Rebbe tells him Mutu Sheyachoshdu Chaverim Litrom. We better for us to assume that the Talmud Chacham is going to go and take Lomen Amukov Shalomen Amukov VeYachilu Ami Aretz Tvolim rather than the Am Aretz Chas Hashom eating Tevel. So now, according to this understanding, what exactly are Rebbe and his father arguing? And this is what we explained previously. Rebbe Sovar, Nichale L'Chaver, it is preferable for the Chaver, the La'avidu Isura Klila, to do a small Isser, like I said, a small little problem of taking Shalom and Amukov, as opposed to causing the Amo Aretz to go and eat Tevel D'Araisa. The lowly Ovid, Amo Aretz, Isura Rabba, major sin of eating the tevel when it wasn't taken off Trumas and Maestros, he'd be chayv misa b'dei shamayim. So the chacham would rather say, "I'll do a small little thing incorrectly to save the poor Am Aretz from doing a major misa b'dei shamayim type of iser." That's Rebbe's opinion, but his father Shimon Gamliel Sovar, no, nichle l'chaver. The chaver would say, "Listen. Everybody has to take care of themselves. I can't be responsible for the whole world." Nichle l'chaver, it's preferable for the chaver to say, "D'la'avid Am Aretz Yisur Rabba." Better that the Am Aretz should do a sin and not me. V'iyu afilu Yisur Klil l'la'avid. A person doesn't go and sin to save somebody else from doing a bigger sin. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says the Talmud Chacham is going to say, "I'm not doing a sin of going and taking off Trumas and Maestros Shalom and Amukov. That may cause the Am Aretz to do a bigger sin. That's the Am Aretz's problem. Don't be an Am Aretz. But I'm not going to go do a sin in order that he should be prevented from doing a bigger sin." So Baruch Hashem, we caught up already quite a bit for one day. And Mitzvah Hashem, we'll pick up here from the Mishnah in tomorrow's shir. Like I said, over the next couple of week or two, we'll try to catch up with the 7 shirim that we're going to miss because of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and the first and last days of Sukkot. Everybody should have a wonderful day.